Good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Y'all doing good? Come on, you excited about Jesus today? Come on, y'all got to do better than that. It's Palm Sunday. Come on, you excited about Jesus today? Wow, what an honor it is to be with you today. I'm so excited about Palm Sunday, and I'm going to explain to you, kind of just give a fresh look at Palm Sunday and look at Passover and what a significant day this is. And it's the pathway to the cross that Jesus took for us. And there was a significant pathway that he took. And it wasn't an easy way, but I want to help make it real for you today. Because you know what? We don't talk about the cross and we don't talk about what Jesus did for us nearly enough. We don't think about it nearly enough. And I believe that after today, you're going to be marked by today in such a way that you can't help but think about it in a new and refreshing way. I don't know if you know this or not, but most of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are stories, like they're narratives about Jesus' life. And actually, a lot of the Gospels are written about actually the last 8 days leading up to the resurrection of Jesus. I won't say his last days on earth, because he did have days after he resurrected and he walked the earth and he was ascended to heaven. But so much actually in the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a lot of chapters written. You might want to take a picture of this and read this week. This would be very good reading for you, even if you're new to Palm Sunday and new to what we call Passion Week. And actually a third of the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, a third of them are designated for this. And almost half of the Gospel of John is written about the last 8 days leading up to Resurrection Sunday. That's how big a deal this is. As a matter of fact, it's actually been said that the Gospels are passion narratives with long introductions. That really the Gospels are about the passion. And when I talk about passion, and for those of you that are new to Christianity and passion, we call this Holy Week. Like from Palm Sunday to Resurrection Sunday is Passion Week. And that is demonstrating the passion of Jesus. His passion was very significant here. And on Sunday, what we're recognizing today is the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And Monday, Jesus cleanses the temple, and some very significant events happened there. And then Tuesday, he's teaching at the Mount Olivet. It says Mount Oliver there. He was not on Mount Oliver. I'm not sure how that got on there. Mount Oliver. I mean, that'd be really cool if he was, but that's beautiful. The Mount of Olives, he gives a... How do you recover from that? I don't know. But he gave some significant teachings. Actually, if you were to read John chapters 13 through 17, all red letters, really, really significant. Really, really significant in that. And then Jesus rested in Bethany. And in Wednesday, it's almost like he it was a respite. He was with his closest followers. And then Thursday, the Last Supper. And Jesus praying at Gethsemane. He's praying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And then he's arrested on Friday, the crucifixion. Sunday, the resurrection. This is a really significant week for us in the Christian faith. In the Christian faith, this is one of the most significant things that we have. You know, before I knew Jesus, it was just another week. I used to call, you know, I grew up Catholic, went to Catholic Mass, and I used to call Easter the fashion show, where everybody just wore new clothes and it was just a fashion show. Before I knew Jesus, I just made fun of it because I just made fun of the people there. I'm being honest with you. I'm not proud of it. I'm just confessing sin to you. But after I became a follower of Jesus, it took on a whole new meaning. And as a matter of fact, this coming Friday, Good Friday, I want to invite you out to come to North Braddock. We're one church in four locations, just as Pastor Ben shared. And we're going to stop everything and remember the cross of Jesus. And I'm going to share with you the last seven statements that Jesus made on the cross. What I'm going to share with you mainly today, Jesus was silent. But on the cross, he said some significant things. And we're going to have communion together. And I'm urging you to come out because we need to stop everything and remember what Jesus went through. And so we have two times at 5 and 7:30. I'm asking you to please come and be there. because this day is so, so significant and so very important that I don't want you to miss this important day. And that's what I'm inviting you to. As a matter of fact, this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, as a church, we're fasting. And so whether you fast one meal a day or you're fasting all 3 days, we're praying for the reality of Passion Week. Again, Passion Week is the week that leads up. It's Holy Week that leads to the cross. And it demonstrates Jesus' passion for you and for me. That's why it's called Passion. The Passion of the Christ, if you all, the movie. You know, you getting it? And so it takes a lot of passion for this. And so we're going to pray and we're going to fast this couple days going in here. Matthew 21, 8 through 10, it's kind of a description of what we call Palm Sunday. And Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And so he was coming into Jerusalem at a very significant time. There would have been somewhere between 1 to 2 million people in Jerusalem at this time, because it was a Jewish holiday called Passover. Jewish holiday called Passover, which is a really big deal. As a matter of fact, if you were a Jew, no matter where you lived, as a male, you had to go to Jerusalem at Passover. So there was all these people on their way to Jerusalem here. And that means there have been millions of people gathered. It would have been almost like a big July 4th to us holiday. Because remember, I'm going to get into what it remembers, but Jesus was coming in on a donkey here, and they took off their coats, which represents your identity. In biblical times, the outer garment represented your identity, and they took off their identity, and they laid it down, and then they took palm branches, and they laid them down, and he came forward, because this, in the book of Kings, this was very significant. Because when kings would come in, they would like a parade for the kings of homage, a homage and reverence for the king. And so they would do this because Jesus the king was coming. And then they start shouting here, and the crowds went before him, and there was a sound, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. But when he entered Jerusalem, so that would have happened right outside the walls of Jerusalem. He went inside, and then they were like, who is this? Hey, who is this guy? There was people, they heard the commotion, and there's people like, who is this? And I want to tell you that today, there's people that live next door to you. They work in the next cubicle from you. They work maybe on the next cash register from you. They're your friends, they're your family, and they're wondering who Jesus is. They're asking this question right now. They're saying, who is this Jesus? That's what they're saying. Now, they may not say those words, but they're wondering. And they're waiting for somebody to really explain it to them. And so on this Palm Sunday, it's very, very significant here. So there's all these people gathered for this Passover celebration. Now, what is Passover? The significance of Passover is this. It's a feast that remembers the protection and deliverance of God. Like Israel were God's people. So if you go back, and again, please write these scriptures down. I'm giving you reading for the whole week here. Exodus chapter 12, 1 through 11. Those are verses 1 through 11, chapter 12. So it's in the first couple chapters or first couple books of the Bible. And you would read this. Passover was significant because there were plagues. Like God wanted to release the Israelites from bondage. They were slaves for hundreds of years. And he was going to release them. And one of the last plagues was the firstborn son would die unless you killed a lamb. And you would take the blood of the lamb. This is a real lamb. You killed it. And you would put the blood around the doorpost. And if you did that, then death would pass over you. It would pass over. So the significance of Passover was a lamb had to die. And you would take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And then death would pass over your house. You got to track me. I'm gonna tie this all together today. I know it may be a little more teaching than maybe like kind of you're used to, but like follow me. This is so significant if you believe in the Christian faith. And so Jesus picked now, okay? So in the New Testament, he was coming in on Sunday, Palm Sunday, as the Lamb of God. Because the same day he entered Jerusalem would have matched with the Jewish calendar with the day that they would get the Passover lamb and bring it into their house. See, with Jesus, there's no accidents. It wasn't just happen chance. The Bible is an intricately woven book that ties together. Here we're reading the Gospels, New Testament, the last, like, basic third of the Bible, ties into Exodus, one of the first books of the Bible, and it's telling us, he's telling a story about the significance of what's happening here. And unfortunately, many of us in the Christian faith, we actually miss it here. And so there's a celebration and there's this plagues. And so he comes in on this significant day. And Jesus is called the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. Now, the Lamb of God is very, very significant here. In John chapter 1, 29. John 29. The next day, this is John the Baptist. He saw Jesus. John the Baptist. Now I'm in the New Testament now. And he saw Jesus and he said, behold the what? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Very, very significant. Very significant about the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Now that's just not just the sins of the world, but takes away my sin and your sin too. My sin he paid for. Not just the sins of the world, mine. And it took a lamb. Now lamb is a significant use here. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed a lamb and they would, again, take the blood and put it on the doorpost. I'm going to explain. I'm going to read some verses to you about that. And then in the New Testament here, it's just, you know, the lamb. Now, in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, book of Revelation, it has a lot to do with heaven. 29 times the word lamb is used in the book of Revelation. And on the, it seems to me that in heaven, Jesus being called the Lamb of God is a really big deal. So if Jesus, the Lamb of God, is a really big deal in heaven, I think we should get used to that here and now. Are you with me? See, I want you to catch this because the Lamb of God is significant. Now listen, I want to let you know something. I don't eat like beef on a regular basis. I don't eat red meat. But lamb is one thing that I will eat. Glory to God in the highest. As a matter of fact, when I go to Texas Day Brazil, I go for one reason. I know how much I paid to eat all you can eat. And I know how many lamb chops I got to eat to break even. I got to eat 4 to break even, 6 to win. Now up here on stage, there are beautiful lamb chops. I've been smelling these this morning. As a matter of fact, the campus pastor here, Pastor Ben, he did this labor of love for me today. Okay, Pastor, we give him a big hand. He did this for me. And they look absolutely, glory to God in the highest. And lamb, I love lamb. I've loved it since I was a kid. It's just something about it just really, really, really makes me happy. Now I'm happier. Glory. I need me a napkin, but I don't got one. That's okay. I was like, don't worry about it. We're good. Oh, ma'am. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, sir. Man, that's love right there. I love me some lamb. How many of you are hungry for lamb right now? The big idea for today is this. The pathway to the cross is found with 3 significant aspects of Jesus, the Lamb of God. Sinless, slaughtered, and shared. The Lamb of God, Jesus, needed to be sinless, had to be slaughtered, and I picked a very gruesome word purposely, but also shared. I don't think Jesus had lime Perrier. But I'm so thankful. I got Rice Krispie treats. I got lamb. I'm set. I just want to talk about the Lamb of God being sinless. In Exodus chapter 12, the lamb that they brought in for Passover had to be without blemish. a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or the goats here. Now, it had to be without blemish. Now, that's a word like, well, what's that mean? And I'm going to read to you a scripture. It had to be sinless, which talks about internal, and spotless, which talks about external. Jesus was both sinless and spotless. This is significant because unless the lamb was both sinless and spotless, it couldn't be a sacrifice worthy of our sin. In the Christian faith, this is a really big idea, big deal. And people, you probably talked with people in your life and said, well, Jesus had sin. Jesus had this. No. There's references in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in every way like you and me, but was still sinless. I want you to think about this. What temptations do you face in your life? Take the easy way out. Have anybody here ever been tempted with that? Has anybody here ever been tempted to lie? Okay, raise your hand or you're lying. Come on. No. How many of y'all been ever tempted with covetousness? Greed. He was tempted to dishonor his parents. I mean, if he was tempted in every sin, aren't these real sins? How about lust? No, really, seriously. No, seriously, like we don't think about that, do we? No. Jesus would never. No, he was tempted in all ways, but he didn't sin. That means he was tempted at Passover to eat too much. No, I'm being real. See, we don't think about this. Every sin he was tempted with, but he was sinless and spotless. And if you're going to clean up your kitchen, your kitchen counter. How many of you have ever cleaned up your kitchen counter? Ever in your whole life, you've ever done it? Thank you. At least once, okay? At least once. Do you go get the rags that you just changed the oil in the car with or the ones you waxed the car with, and do you bring those in? No, you get a clean dish rag, right? And you get one clean. And because it takes something clean to make something clean. See, you can't get clean with something that's halfway clean. So it takes something pure and spotless. So in 1 Peter, we read these verses, which are really, really significant here. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. I had an empty life. I had a purposeless life before Jesus that I inherited from my ancestors. It was purposeless. I had only one goal in my life, and that was me. And he saved me from that. He ransomed. He paid the price. Sinlessness. He went through all those temptations sinless for me. And it was not paid for with mere gold or silver or American Express or MasterCard, which lose their value. It was precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He saved me from an empty life and cleaned up my life because he was sinless and spotless. This is significant. So when he's going into Jerusalem, on the same day that they would have been going out to get the Passover lamb and bring it into their house, he was going into Jerusalem to be inspected, because there was a 4-5 day time period which the lamb would be inspected. And if that's why the gospel narratives of Passion Week are so important, because it's an inspection of the Lamb of God. And we see him sinless. We see him, his humanity and everything here. It all lines up to Passover in the Old Testament here. Now I want to move along here. And the lamb had to be slaughtered. Oh my God. Slaughtered. Exodus 12, verse 6. Remember, Exodus 12 is Passover. Exodus 12, and then we're going to look at it, you know, in what was happening in the New Testament. Are you still with me here? And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel, and shall kill their lambs at twilight. Strong word there. Isaiah 53. We learned this last year at Good Friday. For those of you that were at Good Friday, I call it remembrance. Last year we learned that in the Jewish faith, they skip over Isaiah 53. they read through the book of Isaiah in a very religious way. And I'm not saying that negative. I'm saying it in a very regular way. But they actually skip over. They go from 52 to 54. They skip over 53 because it so significantly speaks to Jesus being the Messiah. I learned this through people who grew up in the Jewish faith. I didn't just read that. It was people in the Jewish faith that since have believed that Jesus is the Messiah. Very, very significant here. Okay? And so in Isaiah 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Very important. He didn't open. He didn't talk back. He didn't say much. But like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was silent. So this word slaughtered literally means butchered. It literally means massacred, like a bloodbath. No, I don't think we get it. We romanticize the gospel. But this word slaughtered literally means butchered, like a butcher, like blood everywhere. That's what he had here. He was slaughtered in a significant way here. Now, the lamb had to be slaughtered at 9 a.m. 9 a.m. is when they began the crucifixion. So at 9 a.m., the lamb would be slaughtered. They would then prepare the lamb and put it in the oven at 3. That was the time they took Jesus off the cross at 3 and put him in the tomb. This all lines up. To us, it's a disassociated, there's Exodus and there's this Old Testament stuff and there's New Testament. No, one shadows into the other and one reflects one. And so at 9 and at 3 is very significant. And then later we're going to see that the lamb was roasted and then eaten and consumed later on. But in this time of 9 to 3 here, and this would have been a time that crucifixion was one of the most horrible deaths you could imagine. Capital punishment, I mean, it's horrible. You know, lethal injection's horrible. This was at a time in history. God chose a time in history for Jesus to pay for our sins when capital punishment was the worst brutal thing on the planet ever in history. When Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, take this cup from me. Let it pass from me. Don't let this happen to me. It was a real prayer because he knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen to him. I believe that if he was tempted in all ways, he was tempted to say, Father, please don't let this happen to me. That would have been my first prayer. I'm just being honest with you. And so this is one of the most intense, significant things that could ever happen here. The trials were at night, actually, when you weren't allowed to have trials at night. It was all illegal of what they did to him. Can I just tell you something? When things that are bad are happening to you, even if they're illegal, the best thing that we can do sometimes is just be silent and allow God to do his perfect work in our hearts. There's times I've been unjustly accused. I've been unjustly tried and unjustly in people's minds, and I've just learned how to be silent. I've learned just it's okay. God got my back. God's the one that will protect me, and I won't give up my faith in God. And then there's this another verse here, and I'm going to camp out here for a good while. Isaiah 53:5, and he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and in his wounds we are healed. God, I just ask you right now to grant me the grace to honor you and your sacrifice and what I communicate right now, because God, I really need your help. The seriousness of what you did, going to the cross, Jesus, I just want everybody here to know it today. And I don't want them to know about me, but I want them to know about you, Lord God, and what you did for them. So God, right now in this moment, would you help me communicate in a way that honors you and brings us closer to understanding what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's first of all talk about the wounds on his back. They would take a leather strand. It was really called, like what we refer to, maybe you've heard the term, a cat of nine tails. It would have been nine strands. And they would literally tie glass and bone and rocks in, like so many times in here. And then they would soak the leather in water because it would make it sharper, like leather strands. It would be sharper. And then what they would do is they would take off the person who's being crucified, their shirt, and they would literally whip them, but the strands in the glass and the bone went into his flesh, and then they would pull the flesh off. They started on one shoulder, and then they would go to the other shoulder. And I'm going to explain why the shoulders were important in just a moment. But they literally would do this. As a matter of fact, there was a Roman rule. You couldn't give more than 39 what we call lashes. Maybe you've heard of that. Or whip. You couldn't do more than 39 under Roman rule because typically people would go into shock at that point. Literally, they couldn't. They would kill them. So they gave him 39 of these. So literally they took this and they put it in and they would rip his flesh off his back. They literally, like everyone just flesh in and flesh off, and it was his back. His whole back would have been raw. Could it be that Jesus took a beating on his back, and there's people in this room right now, you're carrying a lot of things extra on your back. Jesus took every one of those things you're carrying for you. Now, I want you to catch this. Could it be that we're taking extra things on our life that we weren't meant to carry, and Jesus carried it for us? He took it for us. So he took this because we needed healed here. Now, healed, now sometimes you hear people praying, by his stripes we are healed. I've said that. This is what they're talking about in Isaiah. Now, it also talks about spiritual healing and physical healing. There's two connotations, if you read the Bible, there's really two connotations of healing. There's physical healing, which I believe Jesus took on his back, but there's also spiritual healing. There's people in this room right now, you need spiritually healed. You are so wrapped up in your past. You are so wrapped up in your mind and your past. You can't get beyond your past spiritually. Jesus took it on his back. Why are you carrying it? You don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to. They led him to a place called Golgotha. Or I'm jumping ahead here. I'm sorry. They beat him beyond recognition. Isaiah 52:14. They literally beat him beyond he was able to be seen. As a matter of fact, they took him into private, which you weren't allowed to do. See, crucifixion was supposed to be public to deter you from being illegal. So they took him in private and they punched him. They blindfolded him and just started beating him. And then they would say, if you're a prophet, who hit you? This is in Luke 22. So after he gets his flesh ripped off his back, now he's getting punched, and he's getting spit on, and he's getting made fun of, and he's blind, and he never opens his mouth. How do you do that? And then they took this crown of thorns, and they put a crown of thorns on his head. I don't know about you. I grab a little wee thorn, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's like, Natalie, please help me. You know, I'm like, some sudden, you know. I mean, these are, and they put it in around his head, which literally means that all the blood would rush to the center of his head, trying to conserve blood, because your skull is so vascular. It's very vascular. You just nick, and it bleeds like crazy. And he would have gotten that migraine of all migraines. Migraine of all migraines at this point. Russian. Why did he take this crown on his head? So that you and I could have peace. All your worry, anxiety, mental illness, all of those things, Jesus took on his head so you don't have to take it. Why is this so significant? Are you with me? See, it was significant. You're carrying too many things on your back. He took a whipping for that. Your head, the peace that you're lacking, he has for you. And then they did this humiliating thing. They literally hung him on a cross. And listen, just bear with me. They hung him naked on the cross. How humiliating. He took every bit of humiliation and shame for you. You don't have to carry your humiliation and shame anymore. He took it for you on his pathway to the cross in Passion Week that leads up there. Are you tracking this today? And then he took these spikes in his hand, and now if they would have put them right here in his hand, they would have had to like use ropes and keep them on there. They see in biblical times, your hand is considered everything from here to your elbow. So we don't know, but I believe personally they probably put it in between these two bones, which would have held you on there. So they literally would put spikes right here, and then spikes in his feet, in here. Do you know what I believe he took those for? For all the things that you did in your life that was transgression and error. In your feet, he was pierced because all of the times that you've gone too far. There's times in all of our life that we've gone too far, and there's things that we did that we're struggled with, and Jesus took it on the cross in his hands, in his feet. And we're struggling with all this, and it was all found healing in the cross. Are you with me? This is so, so significant here. As a matter of fact, he would normally prisoners would be die of suffocation, because literally you would see the reason they tore off his shoulders, the muscles, so he couldn't hold himself up and breathe. So normally you would die of suffocation. Could you imagine such a thing? So really, you like as you'd be on a cross, your natural inclination is to stand up and. But every time he did that, his raw open flesh on the wooden cross, splinters went into his flesh deeper with every breath. And so literally. So he took your, so you could have peace, so you don't have to carry stuff on your back for all the things that you did in your life and all the times you've gone too far. He died for it all. See, to understand this cross, we squabble. We hate the fact that we're inconvenienced in the littlest of ways. And when you can't stand the fact that you're inconvenienced in little of ways, maybe we ought to go back to the cross. As I shared with a man this week, I shared this with another man this week, I said, listen, man, we were talking about laying our lives down for our wives and serving, which I'll be honest, I'm getting better. But I said, maybe we ought to stop looking at it as we're making sacrifices, and maybe we should just look at it like we are the sacrifice. No, I'm not diminishing Jesus' sacrifice. Please don't hear that. I'm not being sacrilegious. What I'm trying to say is, why don't we just get over ourselves? See, when you look at the cross, and then we sit in church for decades and won't serve, what are we diminishing? The cross of Jesus Christ. We fight over, well, giving 10%, My God, he died for us. One of the most excruciating deaths. And I'm trying to make it real for you. And so if you're having trouble giving or serving or getting over your past, go back to the cross. Go back to the cross, not the holy, like up from the grave he arose cross. We'll get to that next week. But right now, go to the Jesus died for me cross. Go back and revisit that cross and say, Jesus, heal me according to what you did so I don't get wrapped up in myself and then stand before God and give stupid excuses for being so selfish next to what he did for us on the cross. Last but not least, most of the time they would take soldiers, and if they were gasping for breath, out of Roman soldiers would break their legs to just finish off the job. In the Old Testament, they said, no bone will be broken. Very significant. They looked at Jesus, and they were like, he's dead, but let's make sure. So they took a spear, and they literally shoved it in his body, up underneath his rib cage, into his heart. And the Bible communicates that blood and water flowed. We're like, blood and water, what is that? That's cleansing. We are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't sing enough songs about the blood of Jesus. We don't. And so really, we get caught up in this. And so Jesus really didn't die of suffocation. You know what he died for? He died of a broken heart. He died for my heart and your heart to get right. So he took this crown so you could have peace from worry and anxiety and mental illness and the real things that you're facing in your lives. He got whipped on his back because all the things that you're carrying can be literally taken off. He literally took the spikes in his hands and his feet because the things that you did and the times you've gone too far, he got that too. But our hearts need cleansed. He took a piercing in his heart for you and me. I never want us ever at Bridge City Church to look at the cross differently again, the same old way. I want us to look different. I want us to look in a new, fresh way. Are you with me? That's the slaughter that he took for you and for me. But now we get to this really fun part. We get to share the lamb. Now, in the Old Testament, in 12:4, if a family's too small to eat the whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divide the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. So literally, they killed the lamb blood. Then they would do it 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock. I told you what's significant. But then they would cook it, and then they would consume the lamb. Do you know what we're supposed to do? Consume the lamb. So if your family's too small and you have too much lamb, what are we supposed to do? Share it. I'm up here worshiping. I'm looking at names, and I don't even know these names up here that you wrote down. Names of people that don't know Jesus yet. Names of people that don't know him. And I'm just weeping because I know what Jesus did for them. The thorns, the spikes, the spear, the whip, all of that he took for these people. And we're not inviting them to a church service. We're inviting them because we have too much lamb. We got too much lamb. I got too much lamb. I'm serious. See, when you get a picture of Jesus, the lamb, we're not inviting people to come and sing songs and wear an Easter bonnet. We're inviting them to partake of the lamb. The lamb. The lamb of God. And once you taste of this lamb, I'm telling you, you're going to want more. I'm just telling you. Jesus? Oh my gosh, this is good. What we're sharing with people is, I got something that's so good. You got to get some too. I got something that's so great and so awesome. And it meets my every need. Lamb. I want to share the lamb. people say, I got lamb in my teeth. Can't stop eating. Is there really such a thing as a church too big? No, I'm challenging your theology. Last I checked, hell keeps getting bigger. I just want people to get the lamb. No, we want, is that what we do? People say, well, it's all about numbers for you, Pastor Rick. This is what I've had people look at my face and say, it's all about numbers. All you care about is numbers. I care about those people right there. Your friends and your relatives. And I have my own list I'm praying for. And at 4 o'clock today, I'm going to invite somebody else. I said, God, just give me one moment to just share the truth with them. Just give me one moment. Well, you know, you want me to invite people to church? You want me to give? You want me to serve? Yes. You know why? Because of the Lamb. And it's people in this room that have been sitting in church so long. Many people have made it all about you rather than the Lamb. As a matter of fact, I hope and pray that so many people come that you don't have a seat. So there's an invitation here. I want you to hold it in your hand. I want you to hold one. This is an invitation to a banquet. Luke 14, the banquet. Go into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you come to, because so that the house may be full. Full. You know what God thinks? He wants a full house. That's what he wants. You think Jesus did all that so we could have nice church services? So we could have more Bible studies? Listen, I'm all for those. I've been in some really bad church services that I've been in charge of. I've been in some really good ones. I'd like the good ones better. I've been in some Bible studies that I've led. They've been really bad. I've been through some that are pretty good. I like the good ones. But I don't believe that's why he gave his life the way he did, slaughtered, and he lived sinless so that I could get all wrapped up in myself. And so when you take this today, when you take this, let's repent that we don't have two church services all the time. No, I'm serious. Let's repent of that. And this is no indictment on Pastor Gary or Pastor Ben. This is not. I want you to hear my heart. But on Easter Sunday, we're going to have two. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? When you taste the lamb and you invite all your friends for the lamb, why wouldn't you? How could you not? And Pastor, I'm going to do this now. You can do it later too. And there's up here, right here, you're going to come up and you're going to line up today in Jesus' name. And you're going to take a picture. Join me at Bridge City Church. You're going to get your picture. And now if I was with Natalie, we're going to hold one. Say, join us. And we're going to post it. And we're going to let everybody know that at Bridge City Church, there's a place for them. There's no such thing as a church too small, too big. There's a lot of them too small. We have more lamb than we do people, am I right? We got a lot more lamb than we do people. So that means we're going to share it. We're going to give it away. We're going to say, don't you want some more lamb? Because once you taste it, I'm telling you right now, come on, don't you want a lamb chop? Come on, somebody. Don't you want one? Don't you wish you could have one? Yeah. Uh-huh. Because you're hungry for it. You know why? Because, yeah, it became real. So this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to pray. I want you to pray. I want you to pray for your people. I want you to pray. I pray, God, open up a door. God, don't let them be blinded by truth. Are you with me? How many of y'all can pray? How many of y'all are going to pray? The next thing is you're going to invite. You're not just going to be an inviter. You're going to be a bringer. Come with me. Come with me. Be a bringer. Not just an inviter. But the last one here is participate. Next week, you're going to be tempted. This is what you're going to be tempted to do. You're going to say, there's a lot of new people here. You're going to... This is what you're going to... I'd watch it happen all the time. When we have big church times and there's a lot of new people, it's like... This is what y'all do. I don't want them to see me get crazy for Jesus. No, you got to participate. You got to look like you're happy. No, I'm saying if there's ever a day, up from the grave he arose. Come on, somebody. I mean, there's somebody I invited, an atheist friend, came to church a while back, and I just worshiped the way I normally did. And he says, I don't know about this, Rick, but you're really happy about what's going on there. I says, that's right. Another man came to church a long time ago. He looked at me and says, I will never do that. I will never jump around. I will never dance. I will never be that excited. And he came up to me a couple years later, and he says, I now became that guy. I'm not holding back. How about you? Would you stand to your feet with me real quick? Are you ready to share the Lamb? Are you ready to share the Lamb? Heavenly Father, I pray over every person here. Lord God, grant us the grace to share the Lamb. Share the Lamb. Lord God, and I pray right now for every person in this room that has never said sorry for their sin and received the forgiveness of the Lamb. God, I pray for every person. There's people in this room right now. You don't have a day, a moment, or a time. And Jesus is standing and he's knocking at the door of your heart. And he's saying, would you let me in? And the only way the Lamb can come in is if you open your heart and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me. Now, Jesus, because of what you did on the cross for me, I want to be forgiven, but I also want to be a follower of yours now. I want to be a follower of the Lamb. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, every person in this room right now, hearts are pounding, palms are sweaty, and there's a rush. That's the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart, saying, will you let him in for forgiveness of your sin? And if you don't have a day, a moment, or time when Jesus forgave you of your sin, today is your day. That's why you came here today, to meet him in a very real way. And if you would like today to be your day where you become, where Jesus, forgiveness of sin because of Jesus, and then you become a follower of him, today is your day. What I want you to do, if you've never done that before, and you're saying, man, I need that, I just want you to slip up your hand right here. Yeah, listen, don't hold back. If you've never done it before, just raise your hand right where you are and just right say, Pastor, that's me right now. I've never done that before. I need to do that today in Jesus' name. Anybody here today, this is the most important 4 minutes of any church service right here. Anybody in the house today? Heavenly Father, I pray that next week, Lord God, next week there's going to be so many hands up, Lord God. We are overwhelmed in Jesus' name. Lord God, let there be so many hands up that we are overwhelmed, Lord God. Break every numerical barrier, every spiritual barrier, every hurt and pain that people have. Lord God, meet it in the victory of the cross, Lord God. Lord God, I commission these people, Lord God. I commission them right now to share the Lamb. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all great. Can you just be seated? Pastor Ben is going to come up, and I'm going to go and finish this lamb chop. And then just maybe, I'm going to share one with you afterwards. Okay? After all, you got up and made them for me. Come on, somebody.
Let's thank Pastor Rick for that word.